Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, saints of the Most High Yah. Appreciate you joining me this evening on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Elder Rufus. You've joined the Straightway Truth Ministry broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. We title this broadcast, If You Have Questions, The Book Has Answers. Hallelujah. All right, saints. Y'all know how we do. Go on ahead and give me a sound check, please, for those of you that are in the chat room. Give me a sound check. Let me know if you guys can hear me. All righty. Not seeing any. Okay. Bless you, Sister Brittany, Brother Josh, Sister Dorothy King. Hallelujah. Praise ye Yahweh, Sister Alex. Bless you too. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. Sounds like I'm coming through well. using a different hairpiece. Bless you, bae. Bless you, bae. Hallelujah. All right. Let's get after it today, saints. Again, it's an honor to be here and fellowship with you all this evening. I have the honor and the privilege of being able to minister the word of the Most High Yah to all of Israel that have the ears to hear and eyes to see this upcoming Shabbat. I will be at Straightway. Hallelujah. Pastor Dow will be handling business like always, and I will be at Straightway this upcoming Shabbat, giving the word. Have no idea what Yah is going to talk about, but I'm sure he'll let me know. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. Thanks. Again, I do appreciate you all coming out, joining me this evening. I do appreciate the fellowship. I miss my family more than words can say, more than I can actually show you. So anytime I have an opportunity to come and to just fellowship with my family, it is a blessing. Now, one thing I want to do is let me give some instruction on how to get your questions to me that you want read over the air. Of course, I won't be reading names and things like that. I will just read the question. Hallelujah. And we'll let the book answer it. Glory to the King. We have a few questions this evening. We will see what the Most High Yah desires us to cover. Glory to the King. But the way you do it is, if you don't have my personal cell phone number, you will have to either email me. If you don't have that, hopefully you're on Marco Polo. If you don't have any of that, you probably aren't connected the way you need to be. You should have one of those avenues to reach me. So you could always send me a private message on Marco Polo. You could always email me. Hallelujah. And I will go ahead and put the email in the chat room here as we talk. I'll put the email in there so you guys can share that out there. The email is rcarswell44@yahoo.com. rcarswell44@yahoo.com. Hallelujah. So you can email there. I think if you go to the Straightway Truth website, there's also, I can't remember exactly how to navigate to it. I think it's towards the bottom. But I know there's something in there like for the leaders, and it comes up, and I think you can click on like a leader's name or something like that, and it will allow you to email that way as well. So you can go to the straightwaytruth.com website, click on my name. Whoever put that in there, you put that in there wrong. It's 4-4, not 2-2. So we will get that out of there. They put that in there wrong. I will put it in there. Come on, where are we at? Trying to navigate and talk at the same time. There we go. That is the correct email. It's rcarswell44@yahoo.com. So that's rcarswell44@yahoo.com. That's the email. Of course, if you're on Marco Polo, you can just send me a private Marco Polo with your video or question typed out, however you want to do it. And if you have my personal number, you can text me a question. And if it be the Father's will, we will read the question. Hallelujah. All right. We are going to get rolling here. Like I said, we have a few questions tonight. So I'm just going to get after it is what I'm going to do. Praise the Most High Yah. I got people sending questions. Okay, I see now. Great. All right. First question for the night. Let me get to it. And it is, reads as such. All right. So I know that a lot of pride is rooted in insecurity and people trying to overcompensate for it. My question is, how does one develop true self-confidence and self-esteem in humility and overcoming their insecurities? I'm going to read the question again. It says, so I know that a lot of pride is rooted in insecurity and people trying to overcompensate for it. My question is, how does one develop true self-confidence and self-esteem in humility and overcoming their insecurities? Hallelujah. Very good question. Now, let's see. You know what? I was going to do it this way, but I think I'm going to switch up a little bit here because I still want to be able to see this chat room. Okay, thank you. Who's ever in there moderating? Is that you, Brother Ugly? Bless you, my brother. He put the other email. It's Georgia@straightway.com. Georgia@straightway.com. That's another way you can get an email to me. Georgia@straightway.com. All right. Let's get back to the answer to this question. And, 2nd, I'm going to go to, you know, I think I'm going to read all of this. 2nd Samuel, chapter 22. 2nd Samuel, chapter 22. So y'all hold on for this ride, okay? Because remember, this question is speaking about how to have real, true self-confidence and self-esteem, but have it in humility. Hallelujah. That's what the question is pertaining to. And those that want to follow along, I'm going to be reading from 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I'm going to read a good bit of this, if not all of it, okay? Because I want this to sink in to your spirit. Praise Yah. Real quick before I start reading again, give me a quick sound check. Let me get a quick sound check before I go to this scripture and answer this question. Again, we're talking about how to properly have real good self-esteem, but stay humble at the same time. Hallelujah. All right. I'm coming through good. I'm doing a little something different this week, so that's why I want to definitely make sure y'all can hear me well. All right, 2 Samuel 22. I'm going to start at verse 1 and said, and David spake. I'm just going to read this, you guys. I'm from the King James Version. Hallelujah. Just in case we got people new, I'm going to just read it straight from the King James Version so everybody can have understanding. It said, and David spoke to Yahweh the words of this song in the day that the Yahweh had delivered him out of the hand of his enemy and out of the hand of Saul. So this is what Dawid wrote to the Most High Yah when he had just got delivered. Listen to this very closely. And he said, Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He is a rock. He is my rock, and in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my salvation. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of an ungodly men afraid, the sorrows of hell compass me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh and cried to my Yah, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Remember that. That we cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh heard his voice out of his temple, and his cry did enter into the ears of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Verse 8, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon the cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions around about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. Yahweh thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Master, at the blast of the breath of his nostril. Hallelujah. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my stay. He brought me forth also into the large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I'm going to read verse 20 again. Some of these verses that really need to be highlighted in your minds, I'm going to read them twice. We're still in 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm going to read verse 20 again. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Remember the question, you guys, talking about self-esteem in humility. Hallelujah. Verse 21, Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh and have not wickedly departed from my Yah. For all his judgments were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. I was also, this is verse 24, also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh have recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, and with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save. Hallelujah. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that they mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Yahweh, my Yah, will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my Yah have I leaped over a wall. As for Yah, this one is really key. This is verse 31. As for Yah, his way is perfect. The word of Yah is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Buckler means shield, protection. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Verse 32. For who is Yah save the Master? And who is a rock save our Yah? Yah is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Hallelujah. Yah is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He teaches He maketh my feet like hind feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness have made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not away until I had consumed them. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. I think we got enough in that to go ahead and finish up and answer this question. Okay. I know I covered a lot there. Go back and read it. I'll give you a little homework. Go back and read 2 Samuel chapter 22. And the gist of what I read to you is, if you are going to have any type of self-confidence, if you're going to have any type of, self-esteem, and you're going to do it in a humble way, it's going to be you trusting and believing in the things that Yah has said to you about you. Hallelujah. See, David, he was so confident, but if you notice, his confidence was not in the Most High Yah. His confidence was not in himself, I'm sorry. It was in the Most High Yah. Everything that he talked about was what Yah has said about him and done for him. And that's where you will build up your self-confidence and your self-esteem to do the things that you need to do for the Most High Yah. And see, that comes along when you have been righteous and when you have been holy before the Most High. When you have allowed him to order your steps and order your ways and order your words, order your thoughts. When everything has been submitted to the Most High and you cry out to him, this is how you gain confidence, but it's not in self. The self that you're confident in is Yah himself. I pray this is making sense to you, saints, tonight. I really do. You won't have self-confidence in your personal abilities because you know that everything that you can do and produce comes from him, stems from him. And he is perfect. His word is perfect. So when he says it about you, you have to believe it. And then in the midst of believing all of that, you have a responsibility to praise him and worship him, even amongst the heathens. Because if you read further down in that chapter, it actually speaks about that, how you need to still give him thanks, even when you're amongst the heathen, because he is your tower of salvation. He is your king, but your strength comes from above. Your strength comes from his perfect, unadulterated, unfiltered word. Hallelujah. So I pray that you get an understanding from that, because, of course, we all know and understand that everything we do, we are supposed to do it in his name. Everything that we do, we're supposed to do it in his name. So meditate on scriptures like 2 Samuel chapter 22. Go to your Proverbs and meditate on them. Go to your Psalms. These are very good scriptures to meditate on to actually learn how to love the Most High and have confidence in him. You know, really, there should be no self-confidence or no self-esteem, because myself has been turned over willingly to Yah, and I'm just a willing vessel. So this ministry is just such a great example. I mean, you see the mighty works of the Most High go because we trust in him. From the shepherd, Pastor Dow, all the way down, we put our trust in him, not ourselves. He is the one that's doing all the setting free. He's the one providing salvation for us. He's the one that's delivering us. He's the one giving us power to purge from all these evil spirits. He's the one giving us victory and triumph over our enemies and those that hate us. They don't really hate us. You know that, right? They hate the Yah in us is what they hate. Hallelujah. So that was a good question, because I know a lot of saints walk around with a lack of confidence in doing the work of the Most High. And the main reason is because you just don't believe the promises that are being said in this book. You don't believe them. And that's why I wanted to read what Dawid said. See, this, remember, this took place right after he was delivered from his enemies. And he instantly went into acknowledgement and adoration, and he went into praise and worship of the Most High Yah for what he does. And that should be your lifestyle. That should be your stance as an individual in Yah. And then you don't have to worry about being confident in yourself, because yourself is wrapped up in Yah and the things of Yah. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Praise Yah. All right. I think we covered that. I do. I think we got that covered. So what we'll do now is we will go to our next question. And the next question is, how do I see strongholds more clearly? How do I see strongholds more clearly? I know that a lot of saints struggle with identifying the things that are truly going on in their life that are hindering them. Now, the reason you struggle is because your mind is plenty to the things of this world. And that will blind you from seeing spiritual things and situations taking place. You could have a man of Yah or just a brother, sister of Yah come to you and say something, pure word, just perfect from Yah. But because the way you process and the way you think, you're going to reject it. You're not going to receive it. You're never going to be able to get it because you're thinking from the wrong perspective. Your mind is on carnal things. If we just being real about this, Pastor talked about this a little bit in the sermon this week. Your mind is just still on carnal things. You are thinking about things of this world. You wake up thinking about things of this world. You go to bed thinking about things of this world. As you go out about your day, you are thinking about things of this world. So the scriptures are totally against that, though. They're totally against that. Because this is what, here's what we've been instructed to do. Okay? Here's what we've been instructed to do. And a lot of y'all, I talk about this often. The atmosphere that you have created, no matter if it's in your car, in your home, workplace, the atmosphere that you create is not a godly atmosphere. So you invite these type of thoughts and you invite these types of spirits to hang out that shouldn't be there. You know, I get a lot of men and women too that will say, well, I'm struggling sexually in this area. You know, I don't have a husband. I don't have an Ashiya. So, you know, things are tough for me in these hours. And I'm like, well, what kind of environment do you have? Because the things that you hate, that you don't want to do, it takes a specific environment for you to be able to do those things. So if you change your thinking and understand that you are in warfare, right? You're in warfare constantly. And where is the highest battleground at? It's your mind. So you in war against the thoughts that's being submitted to your mind. Hallelujah. You're in actual war. And if you approach it that way, when it comes time for that temptation and that attack of the devil to come, you will have the environment set for war and not for plenty of this world. And that's why a lot of us don't have a lot of you don't have the success spiritually and the mind clarity that you should have, because you haven't set the right atmosphere for war. You haven't done it. So when that temptation comes, think about it. Everything in that atmosphere is conducive for you to fall or give heed to or succumb to that temptation. It's really, really hard to do some of the things that you do if you have praise and worship music playing. I'll just give you one example. It's really, really hard. Think about some of the struggles you may have in the wee hours of the night or the morning, in your private time. See, that atmosphere is not that. And see, you should keep a song of praise in your heart anyway. And every scenario situation can call for that. All of you got these $1,000 iPhones and Android phones and stuff. Don't tell me you can't download music on that phone and play it, because I guarantee you, you need that phone more than likely to go do some of the sins that you're doing anyway, some of the things that you succumbing to, some of these temptations that you don't want to come to. Hallelujah. But here's what the word says. This is what we should be doing. Instead of thinking on the things of the world and all these submitted thoughts that the devil puts in our minds, all these vain imaginations that we've been charged, flat out, all these vain imaginations, we've been charged to cast them down, right? This is what the word tells us. It says, I'm in Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, very clear-cut instruction. You thinking about things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely before the Most High Yah. If you're thinking about things that are of a good report, and then if there's any amount of virtue in you, you will bring about praise to the Most High Yah, and this is where your mind should be. Very simple. You know, I told Pastor Dow, I think I texted him, but I said, man, this last message was something else, because it was so many nuggets in that. It's one of the messages where, you know, we should be keeping the message on repeat to get it in our spirits. Hallelujah. To get it in our spirits. But most of us don't set the atmosphere right. We don't practice what we preach. So then we look crazy and sideways when we're not getting the results that we would desire. The problem is you don't really have a true desire in your heart for that result. What you want, if you're being honest and real with yourself, is to keep doing your folly, to stay in your stupor, to keep a bad atmosphere so that sin is invited in, right? So that you can still do that, but then reap the rewards of a righteous, holy, set-apart person. And you think that because you're connected, right? You think because you're with the assembly. You think because you're a part of the number. It said many are called, but see, only a few are going to be chosen. You think because you're a part of the call that you're going to be able to slide on in with everybody else. Like y'all can't see every single thing that you are doing, every single thing that you are thinking. It's like I had this conversation this week in our Q&A. Our Q&A, you know, sometimes Q&A, we just go through announcements and shoot, 20 minutes later, we're done. 30 minutes later, we're done. Sometimes Q&A go, like this week, almost 2 hours. See, that word that came forth from the pulpit this week, it penetrated the hearts and minds of the saints so much. There was just question after question after question, and every question was pertaining to saints' salvation. And those are the questions I love dealing with, because those questions take you directly back to the word. And you have to speak what the word has said, because what does it say? It is perfect. It is true. It has been tried. Hallelujah. So here's our instruction. We think on these things. These are the things we're supposed to be thinking on. And if we do that, we won't have the issues of identifying strongholds, because the environment that you have created, because you were thinking on these things, it becomes contagious. And then if you're having a shower, if you have a husband, it'll leak out to them. Children, it'll leak out to them. And what it does is, if someone has a contrary spirit or contrary mindset and thought, it makes them stick out like a sore thumb. And by your holy walk and your holy conversation, which we know that's not you running your mouth, but by that is how you can win someone to Christ. Those are things that are honest. Those are things that are pure. Those are things that are just. Those are things that are lovely. And those should bring about a praise coming from your mouth. And then see, when it's time to do the work of the Most High Yah, the virtue in you can come out, and it can be transferred to others. And then you're talking about another way to help increase people in their faith. They can look at you and be increased in faith, because they see how much you trust Yah. They see how much you believe the word of Yah. And they will see, like Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. Because fruit will be produced if you think on these things. Yeah, we had a really, I hope I answered that question on about strongholds, because I know, like a lot of you, these things are tormenting you. When you're sitting there by yourself idle, idle mind is the devil's playground, huh? When you're sitting, when you trying to go to sleep and don't want to let you rest, I guarantee this, pick up that Bible and start reading, and I bet you'd be asleep quick. I bet you would. Devil will let you go to sleep real fast. He don't want you getting that word in you. No way, shape, fashion, or form. But see, the environment should be conducive for that. You're going to lose sleep. Lose sleep over spending time with the Most High. All right? Lose sleep over seeking his face about what it is he desires for you that next day, if he gives you, if he allows you to wake up and get to that next day. See, my loss of sleep is for the thoughts of Israel, the things that are on Israel, thinking about these honest things and these pure things, these just things, these true things, these holy things. Yeah, these good things. That's what will cause me to lose sleep. But it's amazing. Lately, I haven't been. We in the dead season, and my heart is just content, because these are the things that's going to happen. You'll make decisions, and there's going to be a recompense or a reward for it. And I've just made up in my mind, I'm content with whatever that is, because I just want the will of Yah. So recently, I've been sleeping really, really good, and I thank the Father for it. I mean, like, go to sleep, and when I wake up, like, wow, it's 6 in the morning? Oh, my God, it's 5 in the morning? And I lay down at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. That's not normal for me, but I'm glad it is normal, if you're understanding what I'm saying. It's going to be the norm, and I thank the Father for it. And things are just more clear now. But you know what? I meditate on the word. I take it totally to heart. And I'm constantly in conversation with the Father about what that word that just got delivered to me, no matter how it came to me. It could come from Pastor Dow, one of the elders, one of my wives. It could come from a daughter, one of the brothers. It don't matter. If it's his perfect truth, I want it. And I want to meditate on it, and I want him to direct my path. I want him to direct my path. He's made it clear. We're not supposed to be leaning to our own understanding. And after reading 2 Samuel, I don't know why we would, when every intricate detail of your life has already been predestined and worked out. See, That's what Pastor threw the nugget out there for y'all. He threw the nugget out there for y'all. How many of y'all are going to really go and do a deep meditated study? See, a lot of you like to do the studious thing because you've been trained in these colleges and these schools and all this stuff. You ain't going to get to y'all like that. I'm just going to let you know. That is not how you're going to get to y'all. In humility, you're going to go to him and say, you know what? I haven't fully understood what this predestination thing means. Because if I did, I would never doubt you. If I did, I would never allow unbelief to creep in certain situations and scenarios. When it's time for me to get rebuked, I would receive it gladly. Yeah, it's going to hurt my flesh, but I'm going to receive it gladly because I know, one, that individual loves me through you, and two, I'm not going to do anything but get closer to you from correcting this issue. So it's a blessing to be rebuked. It's a blessing to be corrected. That means the hand of Yah is still dealing with you. You're in a bad place when you know, hey, listen to me, saints. You're in a real bad place when you know you jacked up. You know you're not doing the things of the Most High Yah. You know you are spotted, jacked up, menstrual rag, showing up to service every Shabbat. And nobody says a word to you. The pastors just hug you. Bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. The mothers, if you're a sister, they just look at you, hug you. If you're a brother, leadership, just give you a basic hug. Love you, brother. No encouraging work, no nothing. And you know you jacked up. You know you jacked up. See, the reason why stuff like that goes down is because you've made up in your mind that you want to do your folly, you want to do your sin. And y'all not finna play that. You ain't thinking on these things. So if you want that to get corrected, repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent for all these wicked thoughts that you have allowed to come in and to capture your attention. Listening to your, man, I had to bust out with Pastor on this, y'all. I said, Pastor, man, I'm telling you, I was talking to the old heads up there that where we sit, the older brothers, the 50 and over brothers, at the table we sit at here in Straightway, Georgia. And I was talking to them, and I said, man, you know, this is incredible. I never thought about it that way. You know how Pastor talked about in the sermon, you know, if you hear like a waterfall or just running water or thunderstorm, stuff like that, notice how that sounds so serene and so peaceful to you. And the main reason it is because you stop listening to yourself. I never viewed it like that, y'all, out of all these years. Man, me and Mother Jennifer, I know we used to, that it would be playing. While we go to bed, thunderstorms be playing on the computer just to let us help relax and all that kind of stuff. But I never viewed it from that perspective. So what have I been doing all week? Talking to the Father about what it really means to me, though. I got that surface level of revelation. That's what we want to call it, and that's the word we can all relate to. I got that surface level revelation, but I want that deep stuff that's going to change my soul. It's going to change my heart. It's going to change my mind. It's going to change the way I think. And I will see things from that perspective. Because I can tell you, as your elder, as your brother, as your friend, that's part of, like, when I struggle with sleeping, that's part of it. What? I can't get my mind to slow down. I can't get it to slow down. I can't get it to stop pondering and meditating and thinking on Israel. And I'd rather be up communing with the Father than sleeping. But the more this thing is opening up and the greater level of understanding that he's giving me, I'm getting more rest. And things are becoming a lot more clear. But that's just coming from a deep burning desire. It's not just because I'm elder, y'all. That has absolutely, positively, 100% nothing to do with it. Yah is not a respecter of persons. He don't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't. He doesn't. I don't care how many times the devil tell you that. He don't. Let me get out of line. Watch how his hand come down on me being a leader. Watch how it come down on me You see how much he loves me, how much he don't love me more than you. You'll see. Prayerfully, you won't ever see, because I don't plan on getting out of line. I plan on staying in his vein, in his will, allowing his virtue to go through me and be a blessing for all of Israel. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right, y'all. We're going to take a quick ministry break. I think the new address and all that stuff is in here. I think. Mailing address, all that. I think the new one's in here. If it is not, Brother Ugly or whoever that is in there moderating, if you don't mind, change that address, because I think the old one, I think the new one is, what, 641 or something like that. Hallelujah. Yeah. So if what Sister Wenda is saying on this recording is not accurate, put the accurate mailing address in the chat room. All right. I do, again, appreciate you guys joining me. My name is Elder Rufus. I'm part of the Straightway Truth Ministry. And you are on the broadcast here on Raw Talk Radio that we have named. If you have questions, the book has answers. We'll take a short 2-minute break. We're going to give you the mailing address. Sometimes people hear this word and they desire to be to give. They desire to support what we're doing here in the ministry. So we'll give you an opportunity to do that. Hallelujah, and we'll be back in a minute.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, Number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. Lafayette is spelled Lafayette. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, Number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled StraightWay.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Glory to the King. You're on the Straightway Truth Ministry broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. My name, your host tonight, I am Elder Rufus. The name of this broadcast is If You Have Questions, the book has answers. Hallelujah. We've gone through a couple questions already. We talked about how to identify clearly strongholds that's going on in your life. And we also talked a little bit about how to deal with confidence issues, esteem issues in the Most High Yah from a humble perspective. Glory to the King. I think in the book we've been in Philippians chapter 4, and I believe we read 2 Samuel chapter 22. Glory to the King. We probably quoted a few more scriptures. I just didn't call them out by their title, or whatever you want to call it, their scripture title. But I do a lot of that, you know. So, but if you are a student of this word and you love this word, you know that it's word coming forward. Hallelujah. All right. We have one more question so far. So, oh, again, I'm sorry. If you're in, this is another way. For those that may have just joined the broadcast, we put the emails out earlier that you can use to get the questions to me. You can use my personal email, which is rcarswell, C-A-R-S-W-E-L-L, 44 at yahoo.com. You can also go to Georgia at straightway.com to leave me a message. If you're a really connected saint and you're on our Marco Polo groups or in Marco Polo, you can send me a video or a typed out message on Marco Polo, and we can kind of go from there. Hallelujah. I see that there's maybe some questions in here, and I'll try to get to them if we get time. Brother Vincent, is that you? Yes, sir, that's Brother Vincent. Bless you, my brother. You say, how can we know what our purpose is in Israel other than being a servant? Well, I think you're going to skip the line with your question. I'm going to go ahead and deal with it right now. What was Jesus? What was his purpose? Was he not the ultimate servant? Honestly, Brother Vince, I know that where that's coming from. A lot of times we just aren't accepting of whatever role Yah has us in Israel. Hallelujah. Everybody's not going to be a pastor. Everybody's not going to be an elder. Everybody's not going to be a teacher. Everybody's not going to be a mechanic. Everybody's not going to be a builder. You should have some of those skills, but you understand what I'm saying. Everybody's not going to be some of these things that people look at and say, oh, those are the great positions in Israel. You're ordained to do specific things. You have talents. You have gifts. So understanding your purpose, your number one purpose is to be obedient and to stay humble and be the greatest servant of all. Because that's the example that Jesus set before us. We should not kind of downplay being a servant. Like it's, you know, it's cool. Yeah, we all servants, but there ain't no but. Just be a servant. I give this example to a lot of people all the time, you know, because people come and ask me stuff like, how do I stay humble and this, this, and that. Well, shoot, Elder Becker's a great example of this. He came in as a brother that had skills from the world. So those skills were translated, and he learned how to apply those skills in building and all that from a Hebraic standpoint from sitting up under pastor. Because he was of a righteous, humble spirit and a man full of wisdom and knowledge, Yah said, okay, we're going to make him an elder. But in the whole midst of him being an elder all of these years, like 20-plus years here in the ministry, he shoveled chicken crap every single day. Do y'all know Elder Becker and Sister Diane, they still deal with the chickens every day? Now, I don't know how many of you have had to go out and take care of chickens every single morning, every single day, two or three times a day. It's kind of hard to get haughty when you're out there shoveling chicken crap. It's kind of hard. You see what I'm saying? But they do that job with such joy because they want the best, purest, healthiest birds to serve to the saints. Now, what if he had the idea, well, you know, what's my calling, Father, over, you know, I know doing the chickens is cool, but what do you really have for me? No, that's what I got for you. Take care of the chickens. What if your calling is cleaning the toilets, cutting the grass? Hallelujah. You can't look at it and say, well, what else is there besides this? Your calling is to be obedient and submit yourself. Be a good wife, especially if you're a man and a woman. Be a good wife. And then your gifts will make room for you. And that's how you will understand what it is you're supposed to be doing. It'll bring you before great men. Will it not? Ain't that what the book say? It'll bring you before great men. We have some people that's just going to sing, like me. I've tried to play, I don't know, 3 or 4 different instruments, y'all. It ain't working for Elder. Maybe I should put a little more effort in it. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. You're right. But I can sing. So what do? I sing. Now, if I crack that code and get an understanding from y'all how to play the piano, I'll start playing the piano. I'll start playing the bass. I'll play the drums, whatever. I don't care. But until then, I'm satisfied just singing. Does that make sense to you guys? Because I'm not like one of these overly skilled brothers. You know what I mean? I came in with nothing, barely knowing how to cut grass. Now, I know I do that well. One thing I have, which most of us Israelites have, I had a very good work ethic. I know how to work my tail off. I've done that my whole entire life from age 14 on. But I had no problem when I didn't know how to build. Well, I'm going to learn. Have I learned some things? Absolutely. Can I build some stuff? Absolutely. But I'm not no master carpenter. I'm not that. I'm not a master mason. I'm not that. Can I go out and lay blocks? Yep. It's just going to take me a whole lot longer than it'll take Pastor or Elder Mitchell. I can do it. Can I frame a house? Absolutely. Do I know how to do trusses? Yes, I do. Not as good as Brother Tommy and Elder Becker. Again, I'm not sitting here saying, well, you know, do I need to be on their level? No. Whatever it is y'all got you serving in, if you have a gift, it will make room for you. It will make room for you. Now, I'm talking to all of Israel, but you, Brother Vince, I mean, shoot, I'm going to tell you right now, you did an incredible job with that praise and worship at this last feast we had. That dynamic y'all added for the young folk, whoo-wee. I heard so much praise from the parents of the children, how their children were blessed immensely. Tambourine. I was trying to think of the name of it. Now, if that's all y'all got you to do, be satisfied. It's all he needs from you. But all of us have an important role, and that number one role is to submit and obey like the good wives we are supposed to be. Hallelujah. Start there. Master that. And then Yah will reveal everything else. Be content with such things as they are. We really lack that, y'all. A lot of us come in and we've learned different things or thought we've learned things in the world, and we think, from our perspective, well, this is a blessing for Israel. Well, if y'all don't want it, it's not. I mean, Brother Vince, I know you used to be, I remember talking to you in Texas, you used to be a minister of music out there in a big old church out there. I think it was in California something you told me. Got years and years and years and all the songs you wrote, all this kind of stuff. You think, well, maybe I should be up front. No, that ain't what y'all called you to do. He got somebody else doing that. If there's time for you to do it and he wants you to, he'll make room for you to do that. And I'm using Brother Vincent as an example just because he read this, but I'm talking to all of Israel. Because a lot of us in Israel, a lot of you, I ain't going to say us in this one, a lot of you lack contentment in your role in Israel. You do. But now we back to what we just talked about earlier, y'all. Your mind should be thinking on these things. When you are content to just serve, believe me, Yah will open doors that he wants open for you to be a blessing to his assembly. That's what he does. But if them doors never open the way you be content with what he got you doing. I would be content if my number one job was just cutting grass. I wouldn't care. If y'all say, hey, you know what, that's the best thing we can use you for, go cut grass every day, Elder, I'd go cut grass. If he said, Elder, you know what, you good at washing walls, go wash a wall, I'll wash walls, clean toilets, chicken coop, I don't care. I just want to serve. And I'm content in any role that he has me in. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful and I'm going to praise him for that. Why? Because whatever role that is, without him, I would not have the strength to do it. I would not have the wisdom and the understanding or the knowledge or the patience, whatever comes with it. I wouldn't have it without him. So I'm going to praise him and I'm going to thank him for anointing me in that area to do the work for him. And all of Israel can say, hallelujah. I don't need a pat on the back. The book said it's what? It's reasonable service. Reasonable service. And we need to be content in that. And again, the book is still clear. You got a talent, you got a gift, it'll make room for you. It'll make room for you. It'll bring you before great men, and they will notice it, and you'll be put in the place you need to be put. But until then, be content. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right, so I think we got that question in. Glory to the King. Now I'm going to go to our fourth question now of the night, and This will probably end up being our last one, too. We'll see, though. We'll see what the Most High Yah is saying. All right. I'm going to read our next question. It says, there are times when me and my mate are engaged in conversation while we are spending time together outside of the home. When a woman may walk by, 9 times out of 10, wearing something revealing, it will catch my husband's attention to the point where he is no longer engaging in the conversation with me anymore. Then I find that I'm talking to myself, and his direction is now on the woman and what she has on. In the past, I used to act like I didn't notice. Then I started removing myself if I could when we would go places, as in walking away so that I may not see this interaction. Don't get me wrong. I understand that there are attractive women everywhere. And I don't expect my husband not to notice them. But when I got home, I noticed it bothered me more than normal. I was thinking, what is wrong with me? Is it low self-esteem? Is it a lack of maturity on my part? Is it the fact that I come from a fatherless home? Why does this bother me? Why can't I see it for what it is and still engage in the conversation with my husband, even if it is alone? It's as though he's distracted and now so am I. How do I restore my self-esteem? How do I not allow interactions like this to change how I feel about myself? What a question. What a question. Okay. First and foremost, I'm going to do this thing in a reverse role because this is a woman asking a question about herself and how to deal with her husband. I'm going to take this from the backwards. I'm going to start from the end and move forward, and this is what I'm going to do. So I'm going to deal with the man first and foremost. Hallelujah. Brothers, husbands. If you have a wife, you know what? Even if you are a single brother, no woman's vain, natural beauty should be able to distract you to that point where if you're engaged in a conversation with someone else or with your wife, to where it distracts you so much to where you can't concentrate on that conversation. That is a lack of self-control. And it's extremely disrespectful to your mate. Now, men are going to see beautiful women. Women are going to see handsome men. Women, y'all have just learned, you know, how to cut your eye, get you a quick glance, and you good. You see what I'm saying? But immature, and I mean immature from a standpoint of lacking maturity in this area over your flesh, immature men will gawk and stare. Thoughts enter into their mind when they see something on this level. Now, first and foremost, I say to the man, grow up. You got a lot of growing up to do. You hear me? I personally believe that is just totally disrespectful to be engaging in a conversation with your wife and a pretty woman walks by and now you lose your train of thought just because she's a beautiful woman. Let's just keep it real. All of us have seen beautiful women. All of us men, we have. What do they have, y'all? Let's just keep it real. They got pretty faces, small hips. I mean, they got small waists, big hips, big butts, big breasts. I mean, really? Think about that. Really? You looking and you acting like this is something brand new that you've never seen before in your life. You've probably seen 1,000 of them in the last month. We, as the heads of our families and potential leaders of family, so you single brothers, we have to have, do you not remember and understand that Yah is actually watching you? You don't know if that woman is married and you're lusting over another man's wife. You don't know what state that woman's in. But for you to have that level of lack of self-control, it says a whole lot. Now, as for the sister, all right, as for the sister, it actually doesn't say anything about you for what the husband has done. And I tell women this all the time because you're not in the position to be ruling over and correcting and all of that. You got to let Yah deal with that, right? You got to let Yah deal with your husband. But you have to understand, saints, when, like, because I believe in this, this is not the first time this happened. This happens frequently, right? So there has to be a level of understanding, knowing that the individual that's doing this, they're weak in this area. Now, it doesn't give them a pass, okay? But when I know an individual is weak in an area, what do I do to help them when I'm not in a position where I can go to them and try to correct them? Is my position, what is my stance? Because, see, our mindset needs to be on this, y'all. When we see something that's out of order or out of place, we should want restoration back to Yah. Our number one goal should be, I want that thing restored back to the Father. And if that is our heart and that is our mindset going towards it, then we don't give place for self-condemnation, jealousy, envy, anger, all these other emotion and feeling-driven things that come in these type of situations and scenarios. You are not less of a wife or sister if your husband struggles in the flesh when it comes to looking at women. Doesn't make you less of a wife. It does not. It actually has nothing to do with you. It doesn't. Because even, let's just go this route, even if you were a wife not handling your business, not doing the things you're supposed to do, You could open a door for temptation, but it's still up to him to walk through it. It's still up to him to walk through it. And we are Hebrew men, all right? This is not me answering a question for worldly people. And we just discussed it. Our minds should be thinking on these things. Is it just? Is it holy? Is it good? Is it of a good report? Is it righteous for us as men to be walking around here looking at heathen women to the point to where they distract us from conversations we having with our wives that are bearing children for us, that are educating our children, that are cooking and cleaning and keeping the house, and you know what I'm saying? Even if you are in a position where, say you're a man, you got one of these jacked up Jezebel wives, it don't justify that. It doesn't justify that. And as a woman, it has nothing to do with this self, like we talked about this earlier, about this self-esteem and self-confidence. It's in Yah. See, you got to get the things of Yah in you about you as a daughter of Zion. And you have to believe those things. And when you believe those, it doesn't matter what this man does. Now, I'll be honest. I'm going to keep it 100. That's so much easier said than done. Because you women are emotional creatures. And you are attached. Like in this scenario, let's use this scenario because we're talking about an Ashiya attached to her husband. You are attached to him. Part of his job to show you, to train you, to teach you who you are, to build up your wealth through your service, through your work. And if it's lacking in that area, then there could be this type of thought, the temptation that comes in to open the door. See, this is why as men, we can't do that type of stuff. We have to have self-control so that we don't open up the door for our wives and daughters to be tempted in areas like this. So now this sister needs to be picked back up because now everything in her mind is, well, is it because I didn't have a dad? Is it because it is? Is it because, see, all the thoughts that came in from one act of another individual, nothing that you actually did, sister, of your husband. Think on these things. Have confidence in the Most High Yah and his promises. And then what you can do is have a conversation with Yah is, Yah, what do I need to do to help the man I love so much? Because I know he loves you. He's just struggling in this area. What is it that you want me to do? From a pure place, not from anger, not from disappointment, not from jealousy, right? Not from a self-condemnation place. Hallelujah. But from a pure place that says, I want this restored. Do I have a role in this, Yah? Is there anything I need to do or say? Because if you're husband and wife, you should be able to talk about something like this. I hope this is making sense. I hope this is bringing some clarity to that situation, to that question. But I don't, you know, this esteem thing, that is only built up in Yah, you guys. This self-confidence, self-esteem, and that is built up in Yah, not ourself. That is built up in your trust, your belief in Yah. Not yourself. Yah is the one that's doing the work through you. I posted on my Instagram, and I know some of you are like, what? You got an Instagram, Elder? I said, yeah, we do. I do. I don't ever use it. I don't. I think this may be my first post. I can't remember. I might have posted pictures and stuff like that. I think this is the first video I post. And the main thing I cared about in this video, it was some African woman. She was bald head. but she was talking about marriage. But the point that hit me hard was how she talked and this guy had proposed to her. And the main thing she cared about, she was like, I'm not desperate for you. I am desperate for the God in you. She said, because that's who you are going to serve. And because you're serving him, I will be serving him. And if your God is lacking and he's deficient in areas, how can you lead me? And it resonated in me like, wow. Because we are made in the image and the likeness of Yah. We're supposed to be a representation of that. Pastor was teaching you this just yesterday. Your salvation, if you tied to a man, your salvation is tied through him. It's tied through him. And this heathen woman, I don't know if she didn't have her head covered, but it was shaven though. So I don't know. It was shaven. But she said, I am not desperate for you, but I'm desperate for the God in you. And I think a lot of times we miss that. Because we're still thinking on the carnal things of this world. Hallelujah. We're still thinking pretty much the same way we did before we came into the knowledge of this truth. We still have the same likes, the same desires. And the Bible tells us clearly to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can you renew your mind if you don't put down and cast down the vain, wicked things of the past? When you do not become a new creature like the book says, some of us ain't no different. And we know we not. We're no different than when we were in the world. The only difference is with our mouths, we can confess that we're Hebrew Israelite. We're part of Straightway Truth Ministry. Oh, man, Elder Rufus is my guy. That's the stuff we do. But in function, in spiritual, biblical function, nothing's really changed. So then here it is, you're on the battlefield because this ministry is in the war. We front and center in this thing. See, I watched, Pastor gave us what, 4 movies here in the last couple weeks he told us to watch, right? And we watched, my family, we watched Patriot last night again. We watched it again. And you know what was sticking out in my mind? Them frontline soldiers that would just go up, point their guns, and shoot at the enemy. And then while they were reloading their guns, let the enemy shoot back at them. Who taking them bullets for the Most High? Who's willingly, listen to me, who's willingly standing there saying, shoot me. I love him so great. If that bullet's got my name on it, I'll take it. See, that's a conviction. That's not a preference. That's a conviction. That's not a preference. And most of us are still parading around perpetuating our preferences over what should be a conviction in our heart. And when it's convicted, we will change everything about us to make sure that it is done. And we don't have that to the degree and the level we need it. And if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us don't function in that mode. And this is why we don't get the results that we should get. A lot of us are still selfish. Why? Because we think about, okay, I'm going to serve, but I'll do this, but I'm more than willing to go here if that's the problem. When y'all say that, let's sit down and reason together. Y'all really need to get an understanding of what that means. That doesn't mean y'all cares about your opinion. That doesn't mean he wants to sit down and, hey, I'm your God, but hey, I'm going to come to your level, and I'm going to understand your needs, and you can share them with me. No, that ain't how it works. He talk, you shut up, be humble, and listen with full-fledged attention. And then when he's done, ask him for the strength to be able to go forward and do what he just said, because you don't understand it. You don't have a full understanding of it. Trust him to order your steps in his word, to lead and guide you to all truth. Isn't that what the word tells us he's going to do? We have to believe that, though, saints. We have to believe that. And that's where the confidence and the esteem will come from, in Christ, through Yah. Self should be destroyed. You should die to self daily and walk in the newness and the power of the Most High. And again, I know that's much easier said than done, especially for you women, because you're such emotional creatures, and everything hinges almost for a lot of you off of what someone else does. When a woman knows her stock as well, that's not going to bother her. And you're not in it just to please your husband. That's your goal. But you got to please your Yah first and foremost. Because what happens if your husband decides not to love Yah no more? What you going to do then? What are you going to do? This is why I tell the men, your wives, your shias, they better be sisters to you. You better learn how to love them as a sister first and foremost, so that you can honor what the text tells us from the Messiah on how we are supposed to love our wives like he loved the assembly. Giving all, regretting nothing, while he's on the tree. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. My. We got a long way to go, saints. We do. But we got to get fully mentally engaged in this warfare. And these small confidence and esteem and fleshly issues that we're dealing with, when we've been in this thing for a little bit, we shouldn't have those problems. Because we should be crying out. Our thoughts should be on that. Ask the Father to help you multitask. For some of you struggle, if you focus on one thing, you can't focus on two. Ask him to help you with that. He will. I remember him training me when he first moved me to Georgia, and I'm down in the Atlanta area. I was in Sandy Springs, and all this crap was going on. I was like, Father, what do you got? Why you got me seeing this? Why you got me going out and being around all these people? And he said, son, you have to learn how to hear my voice in the midst of chaos. No matter what's going on around you, you need to know what my voice is at all times. And even in him speaking that to my spirit, guess what I did? I prayed and asked him, how? How do I do it? How do I do it effectively? How do I do it and give you glory by doing it? Do you know I still ask him that? And that was, man, that was 15 years ago. Close to it. Numbers could be off a little bit, but I know it was well before I met Pastor Dowling, Straightway Truth Ministry. And I still ask. I was sharing with the saints in Q&A yesterday. Guess what one of the most frightful things for me is? And I'm not walking around with a spirit of fear. I think y'all understand what I'm trying to get across to you. One of the most concerning things, let me use that word so we don't trip nobody up. One of the most concerning things for me is, guess what it is, y'all? When a saint comes to me and says, Elder, I need to speak to you. Elder, can I have a minute of your time? Elder, are you available? Every single time, my heart drops. Do you know why? Because I know that they're about to come and ask what Yah thinks about something they're going through. And part of my job is to give them what Yah says and bring levels of wisdom and hopefully understanding and all that getting understanding. But I also know that every single word I say, not only verbally to them, but the things I think in my mind, I'm going to be held accountable for. The books are still open, y'all. Y'all do know that, right? They ain't closed. They open. Still being recorded. And then I just take it lightly. Oh, this person need advice. That ain't no way. No. Even when my body is super tired, even when my flesh is crying, saying, you know what? Get away from me. You've come and asked me something for every week for the last 2 years. That's what my flesh is saying. My spirit is humbled and saying, Yah, please. Yah, please, let me say what you want me to say, not anything that I think to say. I don't want to be directed by feelings. I don't want to be directed by emotions. I want to be directed by my own thoughts, the things I think I understand. I ain't leaning to that. Then I pray that it be his will, that understanding will come forward, and he can be glorified. I tell a lot of y'all all the time, oh, yeah, I'm waiting on that testimony. I know it's coming. And I don't just say that to pump you up. You know, Christian church, all that bull crap, they'll tell you stuff to geek you up. I'm not going to do that. I only say that when I believe it. And I don't know how long it's going to take for some of them testimonies to come, but they're coming, and I'm ready to shout. I'm ready to glorify the Father. I'm ready to dance, whatever's required. We have to be more spiritual, y'all. Not religious. We have to be spiritual, and that comes with a high level of transparency before the Most High. Pastor touched on, man, he's going to, man, you better go back and listen to the sermon yesterday. You better go back and listen to that sermon. That's one of those things, I don't even recommend you play it like when you working and doing all this other stuff. Nope. That's the one when you say, you know what, I got 2 hours. It's yours, y'all. And he said, go back and listen to that sermon. And he has your undivided attention because you're going to see a rainfall of spiritual nuggets come from that message. And Pastor told you, it's simple, and I knew then, oh, boy. Or he said, that was a simple message. I'm like, I ain't finna forget the simplicity of this gospel. Ooh-wee. That message yesterday was profound. It's so much I need to meditate on. Just that one mess alone, I'm like, man, Father, you could probably come back before I get through it. If I ever get through it. Yeah. Hallelujah. I got a few questions, y'all, that's coming in through here. And I'm going to see if we're going to tackle these questions. All right. I think the question that Brother Vince is asking through Brother Van, you're asking a question that says, do you drink wine? Do we drink wine every night during unleavened bread? Like, are you saying, is it required? No, it is not required that you drink wine every single night during unleavened bread. I think that's what you're asking me. No, we do the wine when we're taking the Passover, and then we find the wine. Well, wine doesn't have no yeast in it, so we can drink that during, you know, like our celebration, drink offerings and things like that. But you're not required to drink it every single day of unleavened bread. Hallelujah. I think that's what you were asking me. All right. And then, hallelujah. Great. That's what it was. All right. It says, Elder, can you give us an example of someone being religious compared to someone being spiritual in action? That's really simple. Jesus made it extremely clear. You will know them by their fruit. someone that's being spiritual, that's humble and being led of the Most High Yah, you're going to see fruit that's going to benefit everybody around him, all of Israel, in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Somebody being religious, they have that form of godliness, but they're going to be denied the power thereof. Nothing's going to come from it. See, a lot of times in Christianity, you know, they've trained you and taught you in this Western culture to fake it till you make it. And we all know how to talk and try to present ourselves in this pious, religious fashion. And then what will happen is that you'll get this grand idea, think that it's good, and you'll start trying to give Yah credit for it. Now, you won't be foolish and say, Yah said. You know what I mean? You won't do that. But you'll be, well, I was led by Yah. I was this. I was that. But then in the end of it, you'll see there will be no fruit from it. See, people that don't have that true transparency with him and don't have that real true connection with him, they try sometimes to present themselves like there's something religious, but there'll be no power attached. And that's how you know Yah ain't got nothing to do with it. Nobody's lives will change. Nobody will be edified from it. Actually, people will walk away saying, well, what was this? And, you know, a lot of times that'll bring in like a spirit of confusion on people that are weaker. So then you got to get a real true man and you got to come in and clean all that crap up. And what we do is we will mimic what we've seen in these Christian churches. You know, think about it. You know, when you look at examples like Jesus and when he went to cast out devils, when he went to lay hands on people and all that kind of stuff, especially in the healing part, healing and all that, they didn't take all that. We didn't have to sit there. He didn't have to sit there. Disciples didn't have to sit there pumping prime and get people all fired up and get the goosebumps and hair on their arms raised. They didn't have to do all that. They just spoke it. So that's why some of y'all notice when you come up and you get hands laid on you and we're commanding certain things, it don't take all day. We don't have you up there for no 40, 50 minutes. We don't have you up there 20, 30 minutes. Most of you be up there for two or three, if that. We command what needs to be commanded, and then we move on. Yah will be done. Hallelujah. Your faith has made you whole. But in the Christian church, you know, you got to play music. You got to get the organ going. You got to get the little choir boys up there dancing, acting a dang fool. Everybody just falling all out. You see what I'm saying? It got to be a show. It's got to be come see this, come see me. That's a religious spirit. I hope I gave you a good example there, my brother, Brother Alden. Hope that was a good enough example for you. That's how a religious spirit functions and operates. It tries to manufacture the power of Yah. That's what it does. But again, it ain't gonna have no fruit attached to it. And that's how you'll know. Because some of us are, you know, we virgin eyes to this type of stuff. We'll sit back and watch. Sit back and watch, and let's see what comes from it. And it's not from a judgmental standpoint, because it ain't like you know either. You know what I'm saying? And that's the problem. Like when people see stuff sometimes, they don't want to judge it, and they don't even know what the hell they're judging. You know, they understand that. Okay, now you're going to be judged. Hopefully this ain't something on a spiritual level that's real, because now you in trouble. Things go on, you don't understand what's going on. Sit back and watch. And then that's why you have leaders. I remember when I first came straight away, I didn't say a lot, y'all. I didn't have a lot of conversations with people. I asked them. I watched. I sit back and I watched. I watched Pastor Dowell. I watched Elder Becker. I watched Teacher Shane. I watched all the people that lived there straight away, the good ones and the bad ones. I watched them all. And the things that led to edification, the things that led to fruit being shown in Israel, those are the things that I took precedent, like, you know, you put up on your mantle to look at, to gaze at, to admire. That's what I did. And the things that was to the flesh and carnal and wicked thoughts, that's the stuff I threw in the fire. And I asked the Father to help me listen better. Help me bridle my tongue. Help me calm my spirit. And then I did my part by casting out all them thoughts that the devil would send and all them vain imaginations and all that stuff, putting my flesh into subjection. But that's a daily battle. You're going to always be working on that. That's why I said do it daily. You're going to always be working on that. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Saints, this was a good fellowship. Well, for me, hopefully you got blessed. I did. I got blessed. I got ministered to. Glory to the King. Very good questions, too. I appreciate the question. That's what I want this show to be about, you guys. That's what I felt led that this show should be about. We gotta really, really, really crank it up on the holiness level. And that means we got to quit doing all this carnal stuff. You're feeding your eyes. You're feeding your minds. You're feeding your ears with carnality, man. Stop. Just stop. Make your environment holy. Make it holy. And see what y'all do. See what y'all do for you. A lot of you got desires to move on communities. You can't see these communities are being developed and formed. You ain't finna move on them with a religious spirit. You're not finna move on them when all you do is run around here and bump carnal music all day, then wonder why you can't be effective in Yah. Run the fellowship, but slack when it comes to the spiritual stuff. It's amazing how many folks show up down there to fellowship with us and drinking and all that. But then when Master delivers, I'm looking around like, where they at? Where are they? We see and we talk. We literally say, where's brother so-and-so? I didn't see him in mass deliverance. Where's brother so-and-so? I didn't see him in Sabbath service. Where was he? Now, we do that amongst ourselves as leaders. And guess what? It gets back to normal, these brothers and sisters. And guess what? They always got an excuse. But it ain't no excuse when it's time to put their feet up under that chair and eat. It ain't no excuse when it's fellowship hour and all the drinks come out. They got their cup full of ice. I guarantee you, it ain't no excuse then. We don't got to go looking for them then. They right there front and center. And you think that attitude and that spirit is going to make you an overcomer? You a damn fool. And I meant it just like I said it. You a damned fool. We got to get better. And the majority of us, especially listening to this kind of broadcast, we've been around for a little bit. We know some stuff. Why? Because it's been taught to us. It's been preached over us. We just got to humble ourselves and receive. Hallelujah. Saints, love you dearly. Looking forward to the next time I'm back on the broadcast. I think it'll be in 4 weeks. I'm not sure. I think we only got like 4 people in the rotation now, if I'm not mistaken. I think we only have 4 brethren that's in it, so I should be up sooner. But then, like I told you at the beginning, I am at Straightway, for those that don't know. This week, I will be delivering the word this week, this Shabbat. Pastor Dow will be away handling his business like he should, and I will be there. Brother Ugly, you said 5. What does that mean? Can y'all hear me still? Are we having a problem with the hearing? I don't know what the 5 meant. Oh, 5 brothers in rotation. I'm sorry, Brother Ugly. I'm sorry. 5 brothers in rotation. Okay. I thought you was giving me a sound check. Had me nervous. They're like, oh, man, I lost the volume. Hallelujah. Man, I know this. We miss you Canada Saints, man. Golly gee. That's stupid COVID crap, man. All you brothers that live overseas that we don't get a chance to see. And man. Yeah, I will be done. Hallelujah. I ain't even trying to. It's been a great broadcast. I ain't trying to get all depressed now. I wouldn't receive that spirit no ways. Hallelujah. Saints, again, love you dearly. I do appreciate those that come and fellowship. I don't take it lightly. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. I give Yah praise. I honor him, and I glorify his name to be able to spend time with my family. Like I said in the beginning, I miss y'all more than words could ever say. My actions can't even come close to showing how much I actually miss y'all. But I'm looking forward to that day where we will be together forever. We ain't got to ever worry about being separated again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. Bless y'all, saints. Like Brother Ugly put in there, there's 5 of us in rotation. So I should be back in 5 weeks, and we will see what questions that we have that the book can answer. Bless y'all, saints. Love you dearly. Stay encouraged no matter what. Just make that choice. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus, and you are destroyed in the name of Jesus.